This morning I want to look at a passage about persistent prayer.
今天我就要看一段经文是有关持续祷告的。
Matthew chapter 15 and we'll start in verse 21.
马太福音第十五章从第二十一节开始。
Here we meet a desperate mother whose faith is truly great.
在这一段经文我们看见了一个绝望的母亲，她的信心是何等的大。
And we also get a look at Jesus as we've never seen him before.
我们也看见耶稣的一面是我们从来未看见的。
The woman has a demon-possessed daughter.
这个妇人有一个女儿被鬼附。
And she is asking for Jesus' help with this girl.
她要求耶稣帮助她的女儿。
But the Lord's response is uncharacteristic.
可是主的反应是不寻常的。
He seems to treat the woman even abruptly.
他好像他没有真正的去对待这个妇人。
He gives the impression that he doesn't care about this woman's plight.
他似乎不管这个妇人的情况。
This is not how we know Jesus to be.
我们所认识的耶稣不是如此的。
In fact, if Jesus is known for anything, it is his compassion for afflicted people.
耶稣基督让人家认识他最重要的一点就是他对那一些受苦的人有恩典。
In the chapter before this text, we read this in verse 34.
在马太福音第十四章第三十四节我们看见了。
It says that Jesus and his disciples came to land at Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment.And as many as touched it were made well.
马太福音十四章三十四节，他们过了海，来到格尼撒勒地方。那里的人一认出是耶稣，就打发人到周围地方去，把所有的病人带到他那里，只求耶稣准他们摸他衣裳穗子，摸着的人就都好了。
This is a common sight in the earthly ministry of Jesus.
我们在耶稣基督在世的事工。常常会看见这样的事情。
Crowds of people would press around him, and he would always heal all of them.
人群都来到他那里附摸他，而且他也医治所有的人。
It says so in Luke chapter 4, verse 40.
路加福音四章四十节这么说。
It says it again in Matthew 4, 24.
马太福音四章二十四节也是如此。
And we read it again in Matthew 12, verse 15.
马太福音十二章十五节我们也读到。
Matthew says, many followed him and he healed them all.
马太福音告诉我们有许多的人跟从他，他医治了他们。
So this was one of the unique characteristics of Jesus' ministry. He simply did not turn people away.
所以耶稣基督的事工就有这样的一个独特之处，他从来不会拒绝人。
It didn't matter how loathsome or guilty or socially unacceptable a person was, Jesus always received them.
无论这些人是何等的可恶或者是社会的败类等等的，耶稣基督都接受他们。
And so the story we're looking at today puts Jesus in a light we've never seen him before.
不过我们将要读的这段经文将耶稣基督的另一面给我们看了。
He looks...for all the world as if he's distant and detached and not caring about this woman who comes seeking his help.
在这一段经文里面他就好像与这个妇人脱节了一样他好像不想帮他一样。
Now here's the context.
背景是这个。
Jesus has just had a major public conflict with the Pharisees.
耶稣基督刚刚与法利赛人公开的对峙。
These were some powerful religious leaders who had come from Jerusalem and followed him around Galilee.
这一些是从耶路撒冷来的一些非常有权势的宗教领袖，他们跟着耶稣基督到处去。
The Pharisees were looking for a reason to accuse him.
这些法利赛人要寻找这个机会来控告基督。
They kept condemning him for not following their Sabbath rules or not observing other laws that they had made up.
他们不断地指责耶稣没有跟从他们安息日的一些规矩，还有他们那些人所定的规矩。
Matthew 14 records the feeding of the 5,000.
马太福音十四章记载了耶稣基督喂养五千人。
Which says Jesus, it says in verses 19 and 20, Jesus broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied.
在马太福音第十四章那里，告诉我们耶稣基督掰开饼递给门徒，门徒又递给众人，他们都吃，并且吃饱了。
Nothing there about any ceremonial washing.
在那里没有记载他们有什么宗教仪式上的洗手。
This would have infuriated the Pharisees.
法利赛人看了之后会非常的生气。
And so at the start of Matthew 15.It says some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem.
所以马太福音十五章一开始的时候告诉我们，有法利赛人和文士从耶路撒冷来见耶稣。
This was an official delegation.
这个是官方的代表。
Most likely sent from the ruling council, the Sanhedrin.
很有可能是犹太公会所派来的。
And they said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat."
他们说，你的门徒为什么犯古人的遗传呢？因为吃饭的时候他们不洗手。
And at that point, Jesus unleashes one of his angriest diatribes ever against the phony self-righteousness of these Pharisees.
在这个时候，耶稣基督就给这些假冒为善的法利赛人说了一些他最充满怒气的话。
In verse 14, for example, he says this about the Pharisees.
比如说第十四节，耶稣如此的说。
He says, "Let them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into a pit."
任凭他们吧，他们是瞎眼领路的。若是瞎子领瞎子，两个人都要掉在坑里。
He's basically writing off the Pharisees and their religion.
他基本上是在说这些法利赛人与他们的宗教是不没有价值的。
When he tells the people, "Let them alone," that's the equivalent of saying, "Forget them, just ignore them. They're headed for destruction."
当耶稣说任凭他们吧，其实就是在跟众人说不要理他们，因为他们是朝向灭亡的。
By the way, the gospel accounts are full of conflicts between Jesus and the Pharisees.
福音书里面充满了耶稣与法利赛人的对峙。
And it's clear that these public conflicts troubled and exhausted Jesus.
这些公开的对峙让耶稣基督感到非常的疲倦，还有受到干扰。
So here in Matthew 15, after that run-in with these Pharisees, Jesus quietly withdraws with his disciples to a place far away.
所以马太福音十五章这里告诉我们，耶稣与法利赛人对峙之后，他与他的门徒隐秘的到了一个遥远的地方去。
He goes to the coast of the Mediterranean, north of Israel, into a Gentile region.
他去到了地中海那里的海边，而且是在以色列的北方，是外邦人的地区。
Verse 21, and Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon.
第二十一节告诉我们，耶稣离开那里，退到推罗西顿的境内去。
That's some distance to the north of Israel.
这个是朝以色列的北方行一段路。
It's part of the region that today is Lebanon.
这个就是今天的黎巴嫩。
And this was all very secretive.
这个是隐秘的一次出游。
Jesus went to this Gentile district in order to get away from the crowds who were following him everywhere he went in Galilee.
耶稣基督为什么来到这个外邦人的境内呢？因为他要离开那些从加利利跟着他的犹太人。
He wasn't going there to preach or do any kind of public ministry.
他去到这里不是为了要讲道或者有什么公开的事工。
He was going there so he could rest and recover his strength so that he could go back home and minister more effectively.
他到那里是为了要休息，要为了要恢复他的体力，这样的话当他回到家的时候就能够继续他的侍奉。
He was basically going into hiding.
他其实是要躲起来。
The parallel passage in Mark 7:24 says, "He entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden."
马可福音七章二十四节有相同的记载，告诉我们耶稣从那里起身往推罗西顿的境内去，进了一家，不愿意人知道，却隐藏不住。
But somehow, even in that remote district, Jesus was recognized, and word leaked out that he was there.
不过就算耶稣基督来到了一个遥远的地方，是一个少人的地方，却有许多人还是知道他在那里。
Mark's gospel says that happened immediately. As soon as he arrived, he was recognized.
马可福音告诉我们，当他到达的时候，他立刻就被人认出来了。
But this time it's not a multitude.
不过这一次不是人群。
It's one very noisy and persistent woman.
只是一个非常吵闹而且很执着的妇人。
She shows up and interrupts Jesus' rest.
她来到了这个家的门前，搅扰了耶稣基督的休息。
She's a mother with a severely afflicted daughter.
她是一个母亲，她的女儿受尽了苦楚。
Her daughter is in bondage to a destructive demon.
她的女儿被一个邪灵给捆绑了。
And this desperate mother is relentless.
这一个绝望的母亲，她非常的执着。
Matthew 15:22. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon."
马太福音十五章二十二节，有一个迦南妇人从那地方出来，喊着说：“主啊，大卫的子孙，可怜我，我女儿被鬼附得甚苦。”
The Greek verb tense means she was saying this over and over and over again. She wouldn't stop.
在希腊文的原文里面，给我们看见了她不断的请求，不断的请求，她不停止。
Now bear in mind, Jesus is secluded in a house trying to get some sleep.
我们要记得耶稣基督是在一个家中，他一个人在家中，他是要休息。
Or perhaps he was spending time alone in prayer as he liked to do.
或许他在家中是独自的在那里祷告，因为他一贯都是这么做。
Either way, he was trying to recharge his energy so that he would have the strength to face everything that he knew lay ahead.
无论如何，耶稣是想要恢复体力，因为他必须要面对将来所要发生的事情。
And this time of rest was way overdue for him.
这一次的这个休息其实他已经很久都没有了。
His heart was burdened and heavy.
他的心是非常的充满着负担。
He had just left this exhausting conflict with that powerful group of Pharisees.
他刚刚与那一组有权势的法利赛人对峙。
And so while he was secluded in this house, the disciples were standing guard.To make sure that nothing and no one would interrupt Jesus' rest.
所以当他在家中休息的时候，他的门徒就守在门外，好让其他人不要搅扰耶稣。
But this woman simply refused to take no for an answer, and she would not go away.
不过这个妇人不会接受他们的拒绝，她不肯离开。
The text says she was crying.
圣经告诉我们，她喊着说。
And the Greek word means she was crying out. She was shouting. She may have been weeping as well, but the stress here is on the volume, not the tears.
希腊文里面告诉我们，她是大声的喊着，她有可能是在哭泣。不过这个原文里所注重的是讲那个声量，而不是讲那个泪水。
Picture this image in your mind.
你是想想在你的脑子里在想着。
She is shouting at Jesus at a volume calculated to penetrate the walls of a house.
她喊着叫着耶稣的名，她的那个声量为的是要穿墙而过的。
So this is the kind of howling, high-pitched screech that's hard to hear and it grates on your nerves.
这个是一种非常高调的一种高喊的呼叫，是令人听了之后非常厌烦的。
And although it was the disciples' job to guard Jesus' quiet time and keep people like her away, they finally got fed up with her.
耶稣的门徒本来是要不要让这等人来烦耶稣基督，不过他们后来也放弃了。
And so the disciples interrupted Jesus to beg him to respond to this woman.
所以门徒也来找耶稣，求他快快的反应。
Verse 23, and his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us."
第二十三节。门徒近前来求他说，这妇人在我们后头喊叫，请打发他走吧。
Now, what I want you to notice is Jesus' response.
我要你注意耶稣基督的反应。
Including his initial lack of any response whatsoever.
尤其是他刚开始的时候其实是沉默，一点反应都没有。
It might strike you as the most remarkable thing about this scene.
可能在这个场面这一点是最奇妙的。
And yet there's one thing that's even more remarkable, and that's what I want to focus on.
不过更加奇妙的就是我所要讲的重点。
But first, we need to work our way through the narrative.
不过首先我们必须要看这段经文如何的解说。
There are three stages in Jesus' dealings with this woman.
耶稣基督对这个妇人的反应有三个阶段。
And each of the three stages puts Jesus in an uncharacteristic light.
每一个阶段都让我们看见耶稣一种不寻常的反应。
Stage one, he seems to disregard her.
第一个阶段，耶稣好像是不理会这个妇人。
Jesus' first response to this woman is total silence, verse 23, but he did not answer her a word.
耶稣第一个反应其实就是保持沉默，23节告诉我们，耶稣却一言不答。
There's only one other time in the earthly life of Jesus where he refused to answer, and that was when he was put on trial.
耶稣基督生平只有另外一次不作声，不开口答，就是当他受审的时候。
At least seven times, Scripture tells us that when Jesus was charged by those who finally crucified him, he opened not his mouth.
圣经里至少有七次的告诉我们，当耶稣面对那些控告他、最终钉他在十字架上的那些人，他对着他们的时候不开口说话。
But when needy people were seeking his help or relief, no one was more responsive than Jesus.
不过每当有需要帮助的人来到寻找帮助的时候，没有任何人比耶稣更积极的反应。
This is the only recorded time in his life when someone's pleas for deliverance were met with silence.
这一次是唯一的一次，有人来求他帮助，他却一言不答。
And yet, this is really a more common experience than we might deduce from the gospel narratives, right?
可是对我们来说，这样的一个经验其实是非常普遍的。
Most of us have had this experience.
我们大多数的人都有这样的经历。
When for reasons that are good and gracious, God sometimes delays his answers to our prayers.
因着神的这个原因，他知道是好的，有些时候他单言不回答我们的祷告。
Jesus taught on the one hand that God always hears and answers our prayers.
耶稣在一方面教导我们，神常常都会垂听，而且会答应我们的祷告。
But he also taught us on the other hand that we need to be persistent in our praying.
不过另一方面，他也教导我们在祷告的时候必须要不断的祷告。
He told this parable in Luke 11:5-9 to illustrate that very point.
路加福音第十一章第五节，耶稣就讲了这个比喻来告诉我们这个真理。
Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you.
路加福音十一章第五节，耶稣又说：“你们中间谁有一个朋友，半夜到他那里去，说：朋友，请借给我三个饼，因为我有一个朋友行路来到我这里，我没有什么给他摆上。那人在里面回答说：不要搅扰我，门已经关闭，孩子们也同我在床上了，我不能起来给你。”我告诉你们，虽不因他是朋友起来给他，但因他请辞迫切的辞求，就必起来照他所需用的给他。我又告诉你们，你们祈求就给你们，寻找就寻见，叩门就给你们开门。
And the point Jesus is making is this. Keep asking and seeking and knocking, even if the answer doesn't come immediately.
耶稣所要教导的重点就是你要不断的寻求，不断的叩门，不断的寻找，就算是没有立刻得到答案，你还是必须这么做。
There's another parable in Luke 18 that tells the same lesson.
路加福音18章也有另一个比喻教导同样的一个功课。
So marketplace here in Matthew 15, and turn over, let's look at this passage together, Luke 18, starting at verse 2.
我们等一下会回到马太福音第十五章，不过现在去到路加福音第十八章。
It says, In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man, and there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, Give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.
路加福音十八章第一节，耶稣设一个比喻，是要人常常祷告，不可灰心，说某城里有一个官，不惧怕神，也不尊重世人。那城里有个寡妇，常到他那里说，我有一个对头，求你给我伸冤。他多日不准，后来心里说，我虽不惧怕神，也不尊重世人，只因这寡妇烦扰我，我就给他伸冤吧，免得他常来缠磨我。
And the lesson, as Jesus goes on to give it, is that God is not like that unjust judge.
耶稣基督继续教导这一个功课，就是神不像这个不义的法官。
God answers us not merely because we persist, but because He loves both justice and mercy.
神答应我们不是因为我们继续的要求，而是因为神喜爱公义，而且他是怜悯的。
Even if it seems like we're getting silence, the fact is God is eager to answer.
就算我们所得到的只是一片沉默，不过我们必须要记得，神是非常积极想要答应我们的。
Here's the postscript to that parable.
这个比喻下半段这里。
Jesus says this in verses 6 through 8. Hear what the unjust judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily.
路加福音十八章第六节，主说，你们听这不义之官所说的话。神的选民昼夜呼吁他，他纵然为他们忍了多时，岂不终究给他们伸冤吗？我告诉你们，要快快的给他们伸冤了。
And yet most of us would testify that in spite of this reassurance of God's willingness to answer speedily, it does sometimes seem like His answers to us are delayed or met with silence.
可是虽然这里有应许说神会快快的给我们伸冤，不过我们许多的人都会见证说，我们的经历是常常在祷告的时候，神是保持沉默。
You see a classic example of this in the ministry of Elijah.
我们在以利亚先知的生命就看得见了。
Remember that in the contest with the Baal priests, he prayed one simple, one sentence prayer for fire from above, and the answer came immediately.
记得以利亚先知与这个巴利的祭司挑战的时候，他只是短短的一个祷告，就有火从天而降。
But later that same day, when he prayed for rain to break the drought, he repeated that prayer six times before he saw any kind of answer at all.
不过后来他祷告神降雨来停止这个旱灾，他祷告了六次才有这个神的回应。
And then the seventh time he prayed, the only sign he had that God had heard his prayer was a small cloud the size and shape of a man's hand.
他祷告第七次的时候，只不过有一个微小的答应，这个神就派来了一朵小云，这一朵小云有一个人的手那么大。
God's timing is always perfect, but it sometimes seems slow to us.
神的时间是完美的，不过有些时候对我们来说好像是非常的懈慢。
Remember that according to 2 Peter 3:8, a thousand years is to the Lord as one day.
我们要记得彼得后书第三章八节告诉我们，主看一日如千年，千年如一日。
And Ecclesiastes 3:11 says God makes everything beautiful in its time.
传道书三章十一节告诉我们，神造万物，各按其时成为美好。
So his timing is always perfect, but sometimes it seems like he's responding to us with cold silence.
所以神的时间是完美的，不过有些时候对我们来说，看起来好像神是冷淡而且是沉默的。
What he's doing is waiting for the perfect time.
其实神是在等待最佳的良机。
And the temptation to us is to get impatient and frustrated, and Jesus understood that.
我们常常就会失去耐性，而且非常的生气。耶稣基督也明白这一点。
So what is the proper response?
所以正确的反应是什么呢？
It's the same as Elijah. Keep praying.
应该像以利亚一样，我们不应该不断地问。
The Lord loves faith that perseveres.
神喜爱一些持续的信心。
He wants us to be persistent.
他要我们要持守下去。
In fact, look once more at this parable Jesus told about the widow who pestered the unjust judge.
我们看在这个比喻这里，这个寡妇与这个不义的官的比喻，还看见这个。
And remember, at the end of the parable, Jesus reminds his disciples that God is nothing like that selfish magistrate.
我们要记得比喻的下半段，耶稣提醒门徒说，神不像这个不义的官。
God delights to answer our prayers speedily.
神乐意快快地答应我们。
Now, normally when you read a parable in the Bible, you look for the last line because that gives you the key to the meaning of the parable.
通常我们读比喻的时候，我们会从最后一节看见这个比喻的意思。
But that's not the case here.
不过这个比喻不是这样。
The main lesson of this story is given to us in verse 1.
这一个比喻的重点在第一节就告诉我们了。
He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart.
耶稣设一个比喻是要人常常祷告，不可灰心。
So the parable is an encouragement to be persistent in prayer.
所以这一个比喻是要鼓励我们要不断的祷告。
When it seems like God is ignoring our prayers, the right response is keep asking.
当神看起来似乎是不理会我们的祷告，正确的反应是我们要不断的继续问下去。
That's exactly what the mother in our text did, so much so that it grated on the ears of the disciples.
我们今天的这段经文里，这个妇人，这个母亲就是这样，甚至导致这些门徒觉得非常的烦。
Back to Matthew 15.
我们回到马太福音十五章。
Verse 22. She kept crying out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word.
这个妇人喊着说，不断地喊着说，主啊，大卫的子孙，可怜我，我女儿被鬼附得甚苦。耶稣却一言不答。
And if you've ever heard a shrieking woman saying the same thing over and over again, you know that the longer it goes on, the more shrill it starts to sound.
如果你是有听过一个尖叫的妇人在不断地重复同一个词语，你会知道越长久的时间，它的声量就越大。
So finally, it motivated the disciples to intercede on her behalf.
最终甚至连门徒也为她代求。
They're doing this not necessarily out of compassion for her, but mainly because they want to get rid of the annoyance.
他们为她代求不一定是因为对她有怜悯，可能多数是因为他们想要把她打发走。
At the end of verse 23 says, his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away.For she is crying out after us.
门徒近前来求他说，这妇人在我们后头喊叫，请打发她走吧。
So now they're the ones begging.
现在到了门徒要求了。
And don't misunderstand this. It wasn't that they wanted Jesus to chase her away or make her go away without responding to her plea. They could have done that if that's what they wanted.
你们不要误会了，他们不只是要耶稣打发他走，而不答应他的要求，因为他们能够赶他走。
But they were thinking just like that unjust judge in the parable, give her what she wants, if for no other reason than to shut her up.
不过他们的想法其实就像那一个不义之官在比喻里，他们要给这个妇人她的要求，答应她的要求，为的就是让她闭嘴。
And since Only Jesus could give her what she wanted. The disciples took the case to him.
竟然只有耶稣才能够达到他的要求，所以门徒就前来求他。
So in effect, their prayers, their earnest pleas for peace and quiet, join in agreement with her prayers for mercy.
所以他们的祷告是为了要得到平静，就跟妇人的祷告要得到帮助，要得到怜悯，变成一样的祷告。
So now it's a group petition.
所以现在是一组人前来同心的要求。
And yet, amazingly, Jesus still does not respond with an immediate yes.
不过很奇妙的，耶稣也没有立刻答应。
And that brings us to stage two of this drama.
这就带我们到这一个事件的第二阶段。
Stage one, he seems to disregard her. Stage two, he seems to discourage her.
第一个阶段，耶稣不理会她。第二个阶段，耶稣基督是在阻碍他。
Jesus' reply when the disciples ask him is even more unexpected and shocking than his silence in the face of the woman's pleading.
当门徒前来求耶稣的时候，他的回答使让我们发现了更惊讶的事情。
Verse 24, he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel."
第二十四节，耶稣说，我奉差遣，不过是到以色列家迷失的羊那里去。
As if the silence weren't cold enough, now he responds with what seems to be outright rejection.
首先他的沉默就已经够冷淡了，不过现在他开口的所讲的似乎是完全拒绝了他的要求。
Now what Jesus said was perfectly true.
不过要记得耶稣所说的是完全真实的。
His primary mission was to the nation of Israel. He had come as their promised Messiah.
他来的主要目的就是成为这个以色列的这个救主，因为他就是受应许的那个弥赛亚。
When he called the disciples and sent them out on their first mission, he used almost identical words.
当他呼召门徒第一次差他们出去的时候，他用了相同的词。
Matthew 10 verses 5 and 6, he told them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel."
马太福音十章第五节，耶稣吩咐他们说，外邦人的路你们不要走，撒玛利亚人的城你们不要进，宁可往以色列家迷失的羊那里去。
Jesus had come to earth as Israel's king. He was the rightful occupant of David's throne.
耶稣降世是为成为以色列的王，因为他是大卫的后裔。
And his duty as the shepherd to the Lord's people was first to call the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
他首先的第一个任务就是要呼召这个以色列的迷失的羊。
Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first.
罗马书一章十六节，这福音本是神的大能，要救一切相信的，先是犹太人。
And Jesus was still in that phase of his ministry, announcing the kingdom to Israel.
所以耶稣的事工还处于这个阶段，就是将这个国度宣告给以色列知道。
So he's speaking truthfully.
所以他所讲的是事实。
This was not a gratuitous insult, but this was an honest declaration about what he was called to do.
他不是在侮辱这个妇人，而是将这个事实告诉他。
But still, it's not a truth suited to encourage this woman.
不过这个真理当然不是鼓励这个妇人的真理。
Still, I love this.
不过我还是很喜爱。
That statement from Jesus, which probably would have come across as a snub or a cold shoulder to the average person, did not faze this woman at all.
因为耶稣基督所说的，对一个普通人来说，可能会是他们会看为这个是一个非常残酷或者是非常冷淡的事实。不过这个妇人完全没有受到阻碍。
The average person would take this as an insult and turn away or reply angrily.
一个普通人可能会当作这个是一个侮辱，而且会非常的生气，而且会掉头就走。
She treats it like an open door.
不过这个妇人却当作是一个大开的门。
And in fact, She'd accomplished that much. Now she literally had an open door.
更何况其实她已经达到了她的要求，因为现在那个家的门真的开了。
Because the disciples had to open the door to the place of seclusion in order to get the answer from Jesus to their question.
因为门徒要找到耶稣来答应这个要求，必须开门进入屋里去。
So she ignores Jesus' comment and seems to push past the disciples who are acting like Jesus' bodyguards, goes right into the house where Jesus was.
所以这个妇人不理耶稣的回答，她挤过了那一些门徒，门徒就好像是耶稣的保镖，不过妇人挤过了，来到耶稣的面前。
And she falls at Jesus' feet.
她伏在他脚前。
Verse 25, but she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me.
25节，那妇人来拜他，说，主啊，帮助我。
This is the same plea she's been making, but now she abbreviates it to the most fewest possible words.
这个是同样的一个要求，不过现在是完全的缩短了，越用越少字越好。
Lord, help me. She's desperate.
主啊，帮助我，她绝望了。
The scene is full of pathos.
这一个场面是非常让人伤感的。
And unless you're totally inhuman, there's just no way to look at this scene without feeling profound empathy for this woman.
除非你毫无人性，不然的话，你看到这样的场面，一定会同情这个妇人。
And although Jesus is God, he's not inhuman.
虽然耶稣是神，他不是没有人性。
He's the perfect human.
他是一个完全的人。
And he is 1,000 times more tender-hearted and empathetic than anyone you have ever known.
他比你所认识的任何人更加有同情心，超过他们1,000倍。
In fact, you see his compassion clearly every other place in Scripture where somebody falls at his feet.
而且我们从不同的圣经的经文都看见，当有人来伏在耶稣脚前，耶稣都是充满着恩典与怜悯的。
Even in Luke 7, for example, when a woman of ill repute falls at his feet, anoints his feet, and she has nothing but her hair to wipe them with. And the Pharisees were disgusted by that, but Jesus showed her the ultimate compassion.
就好像在路加福音第七章，有一个名誉非常坏的妇人来到他面前，膏他的脚，他只能够用他的头发来摸耶稣的脚，所以法利赛人看了之后觉得非常恶心，不过耶稣却看为非常的有怜悯。
For that woman in Luke 7, he forgave her sin on the spot completely.
在那一个经文里面告诉我们，耶稣在那时就完全的赦免这个妇人的罪。
Then just one chapter later in Luke 8, the ruler of the synagogue falls at Jesus' feet and begs him to come heal his daughter.
在一章之后，路加福音第八章有一个管这个犹太人的这个官，他的来也是来到耶稣的脚前求他医治他的女儿。
And while Jesus is on the way to that man's house to do it, a woman who had been ceremonially unclean for 12 years touched the hem of his garment.
耶稣在去这个犹太人的官的家之前，路上有一个有血漏12年的妇人来到他的面前，摸了他的衣裳，得医治了。
Any Pharisee would have cursed her and condemned her for what they would have deemed a defiling touch.
如果是法利赛人的话，他们肯定会指责他，因为他的这个妇人有血漏，是污秽的。当他动另外一个人的时候，那个人也会变成污秽。
But in Luke 8 we read, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him.Declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed.
过路加福音八章四十七节，我们读到那女人知道不能隐藏，就战战兢兢地来俯伏在耶稣脚前，把摸他的缘故和怎样立刻得好了，当着众人都说出来。
Jesus' response to that woman was immediate and tender-hearted. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace.
耶稣对这个妇人的反应是立刻的。而且是非常有怜悯的。耶稣对他说，女儿，你的信救了你，平平安安的去吧。
In Luke 10, he commends Mary for sitting at his feet while Martha wanted to do the housework.
在路加福音第十章，耶稣也赞扬玛利亚俯伏在他脚前，当而且这个同时间马大在忙忙碌碌的。
Jesus never rebuffed anybody who fell at his feet.
耶稣从来不会拒绝那些伏在他脚前的人。
Except here.
除了这里。
Now we reach stage three, and this is the most shocking part of this surprising drama.
我们现在到了第三个阶段，就是最惊讶的一部分。
To review, stage one, he seems to disregard her. Stage two, he seems to discourage her. Now stage three, he seems to disrespect her.
我们复习一下，第一个阶段，耶稣好像不理会这个妇人；第二个阶段，他好像是在阻碍这个妇人。第三个阶段这里看见他好像是在侮辱这个妇人。
So when this woman bows at his feet and finally for the first time to his face pleads, Lord, help me, his reply sounds like a deliberate insult.
这个妇人第一次来到他的面前，来到他的脚前，伏在那里拜他说，主啊，帮助我。不过他的回答就好像是一个侮辱。
Jesus has been giving every appearance of utter indifference to this woman.
在这之前，耶稣的反应就好像是不理不睬。
Now he responds to her appeal with what seems like a put down.
现在耶稣的反应就好像是一种侮辱。
Verse 26, and he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.
26节，他回答说，不好拿儿女的饼丢给狗吃。
Dogs, of course, were unclean animals.
狗是不洁净的动物。
In the Old Testament, nobody would have a pet dog.
在旧约里面，没有人会养狗为宠物。
By the first century, dogs had been domesticated, and Romans often kept them as a pet.
在第一世纪的时候，狗已经成为了家畜，而且罗马的人常常会养狗为宠物。
If you go to Pompeii today, the ruins of Pompeii, you can see a mosaic on the floor that says, beware the dog.
如果你今天去这个庞贝城的这个废墟那里去，你会看见有一些石碑是有一些字母在那边是写着提防恶犬。
And in fact, when Jesus answers this woman, he uses the diminutive form of the Greek noun for dogs, which communicates the idea of a small dog, a pet dog, a lap dog.
耶稣在回答妇人的时候，他用的这一个字，在希腊文的这个狗，其实是一种小楷或者一种小写，是指这一种小狗，是用来做宠物的小狗。
And that mitigates the insult somewhat, but most people would still say it's not politically correct to compare a desperate woman to a dog.
这个其实已经将他的字给浅淡化了，不过有许多人还是会认为，当耶稣把这个妇人与狗来相比，其实是一种很不正确的做法。
But notice this Canaanite woman does not take offense.
不过你发现了这个迦南妇人没有受得罪。
She doesn't argue the point or become indignant, or even she doesn't disagree with the characterization.
她没有争论，她也没有生气，甚至她其实是认同了这样的比例。
In fact, she agrees with Jesus.
她完全的认同耶稣的说法。
She says, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.
妇人说，主啊，不错，但是狗也吃他主人桌上掉下来的碎渣。
There's a kind of confession of faith in those words.
他在这里所说的一切代表了他心里面有信心。
Jesus calls her a dog and she barks in agreement.
耶稣称他为狗，而且他就好像是如狗一样的吠。
This is an amazing exchange. She doesn't argue or contradict him. She just keeps pressing her case.
这个对话非常的奇妙，因为他没有争论，而他只是继续的要求。
Nothing he has said or done has offended her or deterred her.
耶稣所做的一切或者所讲的一切都没有阻碍到这个妇人。
Not his silence, not his apparent rejection, not even this barbed comment.
他的沉默或者是他的拒绝，甚至是这个似乎是他的侮辱，都没有阻止这个妇人。
She just absorbs what he says and interacts with it.
她接受了耶稣所讲的一切，而且与耶稣对话。
She doesn't even deny his classification of her as a dog.
她甚至没有抵赖耶稣基督将她比例成狗。
She's like that publican in Luke 18 who stood afar off and would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
这个妇人就好像路加福音十八章那里的那一个税吏，远远地站着，连举目望天也不敢，只垂着胸说，神啊，开恩可怜我这个罪人。
She's confessing her own uncleanness.
她其实是在认自己的污秽。
She doesn't even attempt a self-defense. She just pleads for mercy.
她没有自我争辩，她只是要求怜悯。
And more important, she seems to have a rudimentary grasp of the doctrine of common grace.
更重要的，她稍微有一些对神普及的恩典有一些认识。
Jesus had brought up the doctrine of election.I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's saying they're the chosen people.
耶稣其实是将这个拣选的教义给带出来，因为他说我是被差到以色列家迷失的羊那里去，他们才是神的选民。
She wasn't even stymied by that.
他也没有被这个受到阻止。
In fact, she appeals to the principle of Psalm 145, verse 9: "The Lord is good to all." And his mercy is over all that he has made.
因为这个妇人似乎是明白到诗篇第145篇第9节那里所说的，耶和华善待万民，他的慈悲护庇他一切所造的。
That is the doctrine of common grace.
这个就是神普及恩典的教义。
God's mercies extend beyond the elect.
神的恩典超越那一些选民。
There's no creature under heaven that hasn't benefited from the mercy and kindness and long-suffering of God.
普天之下没有任何的事物或者是物体是没有得到神的恩典的。
That same Psalm, Psalm 145, verse 16 says, You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing.
同一篇诗第145篇16节说，你张手使有生气的都随愿饱足。
So she seems to know that even if she's not one of the chosen people, she can still plead the mercy of God. This shows amazing faith on her part.
所以这个妇人似乎知道，虽然她不是选民，不过她还是能够要求神施恩。在这里我们看见了她有极大的信心。
Also, she addresses him with his messianic title. She must have known something about the truth of the Old Testament.
而且这个妇人称呼耶稣是用这个旧约弥赛亚的称号来称呼他，代表了妇人对旧约有稍微一些认识。
And I love the way she picks up on Jesus' imagery.
在这个对话的时候，她也借用了耶稣的比喻。
She paints a perfect word picture of the principle of common grace when she says, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table.
当她回答说，但是狗也吃它主人桌子上掉下来的渣的碎渣儿，这个就代表了她知道神有普及的恩典。
And by the way, that analogy is loaded with significance.
这一个比喻其实是充满含义的。
I had a dog, a pet beagle.
我有一只宠物狗。
And he became a little lethargic in his old age, but there was one thing that always made him active.
他在年 老的时候已经精疲力竭了，不过有一件事情会弄到我的那一只宠物狗有非常的高兴。
Whenever he heard the refrigerator door open or any clue that somebody was preparing food in the kitchen, he was there.
当他听见这个冰厨门开的时候，或者是在厨房里他听见有一些预备食物的声音，他总会在那里。
He was hoping for a scrap of something that might fall on the ground.
他是希望有任何一些小碎片掉在地上。
And he was better than a vacuum cleaner.
他比吸尘机更有效。
He would instantly dispose of any edible crumbs that fell on the ground.
当有任何能吃的碎片掉在地上，他会立刻使它的消失。
And it didn't matter to him if it was a small crumb or if it was a vegetable or dessert. It was all the same. If it was food, he was on it.
无论是甜品或者是蔬菜或者是小碎片，只要是能吃的，他都会扫掉。
And it made him supremely happy.
会令到他非常的高兴。
If he got a crumb of a stale Frito, it made his day.
就算是有漏风的薯片，他也是非常高兴。
That's the same spirit this woman displayed.
这个妇人就是表扬了同样的态度。
Just a scrap of divine grace was all she wanted.
一小片神的恩典就足够了。
Surely this is not an unreasonable request.
这个肯定不是一个没有理由的要求。
And so in the final verse of our text, Jesus responds by removing this mask of aloofness.
在最后一节，耶稣的回答就让我们看见了，其实他这个高傲的只是一个面具而已。
And it was just a mask all along.
一路来，他的高傲只是一种面具。
He knew what he was doing, and there was a strategy to it.
他知道他要做的一切，而且他是有策略的。
John 2:25 tells us he needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man.
约翰福音二章二十五节告诉我们，他用不着谁见证人怎样，因他知道人心里所存的。
And in John 16:12, near the end of the upper room discourse, Jesus tells his disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now."
约翰福音十六章十二节，耶稣对门徒说，我还有好些事要告诉你们，但你们现在担当不了。
So clearly he knew what this woman could bear.
所以很清楚的，耶稣知道这个妇人担当得了什么。
And he simply took this opportunity to put her faith on display.
耶稣只是借用这个机会来表扬这个妇人的信心。
Mainly, I think, for the benefit of the disciples.
我相信其实是为了他门徒的利益。
And it's recorded here for our benefit.
记载下来也是为了我们的利益。
So we see, after all, that Jesus is full of compassion. This woman needed his help, and he gave it.
所以我们看见了，原来耶稣真的是充满怜悯。这个妇人需要他的帮助，他就施恩给他。
In fact, he pays her a profound compliment that might have made Peter and some of the other disciples a little bit jealous.
耶稣甚至给他一个非常深深的一个表扬，可能会导致在场的门徒彼得等等的可能会还会有稍微一些嫉妒。
Jesus often scolded them about the smallness of their faith.
耶稣常常责备他的门徒，因为他们的信心渺小。
He would say to them, "Oh, ye of little faith."
他常常责备他们说，你这小信的人呐。
He said it just before he stilled the storm in Matthew 8. Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?
马太福音在耶稣还未平定这个风暴风之前，他跟他的门徒讲，你们这些小信的人啊，为什么惧怕？
He had just said it to Peter in Matthew 14, one chapter before our text.
在马太福音十四章，就是我们今天这一段经文之前，他也是这么讲彼得。
When Peter got out of the boat and started to walk, but then he started to sink, and Jesus responded to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?"
彼得从船上走了出来，行在水上，不过他开始沉下去。耶稣拉住他的时候说，你这小信的人啊，为什么疑惑呢？
He's going to say it again in chapter 16, one chapter after this account.
在第十六章，耶稣也是会这么说。
Because the disciples forget to bring lunch, and they're discussing among themselves where they're going to get bread, and Jesus, aware of this, says, "Oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread?"
因为在这一章过后，在十六章那里，门徒彼此议论说，这是因为我们没有带饼吧。耶稣看出来就说，你们这些小信的人为什么因为没有饼彼此议论呢？
So that's what Jesus often said to his disciples, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?"
所以耶稣常常会如此的对门徒说，你们这些小信的人啊，为什么疑惑呢？
And sandwiched in between two of those scoldings is the story of this woman who showed no doubt whatsoever.
而在这两个责备的事件当中，就是这一个妇人，她完全没有疑惑。
And Jesus' answer to her in verse 28 is one of the most profound compliments he ever paid to anyone.
在第二十八节，耶稣的回答是他给任何人的表扬，一个最大的。
And he answers her prayer too. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith, be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly.
耶稣说，妇人，你的信心是大的，照你所要的，给你成全了吧。从那时候，她女儿就好了。
This is an amazing story, and she's an amazing woman.
这个是非常奇妙的一个故事，这个妇人也是非常奇妙的。
As far as we know from the biblical record, she's the only person Jesus ministered to on this trip to the region of Tyre and Sidon.
根据福音书的记载，当耶稣基督来到推罗还有西顿的境内，这个妇人是耶稣唯一服侍的人。
And in the eternal plan of God, she was the real reason Jesus went there in the first place.
在神永恒的计划里，这个妇人就是耶稣基督来到这个地区的真正目的。
Rest and refreshment for his physical body were just temporary benefits.
耶稣的休息其实只带来短暂的利益。
But one believing soul is an eternal of eternal value.
不过一个信靠的灵魂是有永恒价值的。
And this story is a beautiful reminder that the good shepherd will always leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it.
这一个故事告诉了我们，好牧人就算是有一只丢失的羊，还是会把九十九只撇在旷野去找那失去的羊。
I love this woman for three reasons.
我很喜爱这个妇人，因为有三个原因。
The thickness of her skin.
第一，她的脸皮很厚。
The tenacity of her faith.
第二，她的信心很顽强。
And the persistence of her praying.
第三，她的祷告是不断的。
Those are rare qualities in the church, even today.
今天就算在教会里，我们也发现这样的品格是少有的。
But, and this woman had an amazing capacity for doctrinal understanding and moral clarity.
这个妇人在理解这个教义这方面非常有能力。
You see it in the fact that she wasn't stymied by the doctrine of election.
她没有因着这个拣选的教义而绊倒。
She had a good grasp on the principle of divine grace.
他对神普及的恩典有很好的认识。
When she heard truth, she knew, recognized it, and affirmed it.
当他听见真理的时候，他不只是认识这个真理，他也认同这个真理。
Including those hard truths that seemed to put her in a difficult spot.
甚至是一些令他进退两难、很难接受的真理。
You never once hear her making any argument against the truth.
你从来没有看见他因着这个真理而争辩。
She doesn't try to deny inconvenient truths.
他也没有抵赖那一些难接受的真理。
She could see with the eyes of faith that God's mercy does not nullify his truth.
他能够通过他的信心看见神的这个真理，神的这个恩典没有将他的真理给废除。
And she understood somehow that when God delays an answer, it doesn't mean he's saying no.
她也明白了，当神单言的时候，不代表他拒绝。
She laid hold of grace by faith and refused to let go.
她用着她的信心抓紧了这个恩典，不肯放手。
Her persistence was the best proof of her faith.
他的持守就是他信心的凭据。
You know, she's only one of two people anywhere Jesus ever commended for the greatness of their faith.
而且在圣经里面，我们也看见了只有两个人耶稣表扬他们的信心，他是其中一个。
And the other one was a Gentile also.
另外一个也是外邦人。
He was the centurion you meet in Matthew 8 and Luke 7.
就是马太福音第八章，还有路加福音第七章那里所记载的百夫长。
There in Matthew 8 verse 10, Jesus says of the centurion, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith."
马太福音八章第十节，耶稣对百夫长说，他听见了就稀奇，对跟从的人说，我实在告诉你们，这么大的信心，就是在以色列中我也没有遇见过。
So I said at the start, there's one thing in this story that's more amazing than the way Jesus treats this woman. Her faith is what's amazing.
我在开始讲到的时候告诉你这一段的经文里面有一个比耶稣的反应更奇妙的，这一个就是妇人的信心，这个是极大的奇妙。
She's a Gentile from a pagan land, and yet her faith outshone all the people of faith in Israel.
他是一个外邦人来的，他的是从一个拜偶像之地来的外邦人，却他的信心却比以色列的更大。
The whole story parallels, in a way, the story of Elijah, who hid in the attic of a Gentile woman from this same region.
这里的这个故事就好像以利亚，他躲在一个迦南妇人的这个屋顶上。
Jesus makes that point in Luke 4, verses 25 to 27. There were many widows in Israel in the day of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian.
耶稣在路加福音4章25节就告诉我们，我对你们说实话，当以利亚的时候，天必设了三年零六个月，遍地有大饥荒。那时以色列中有许多寡妇，以利亚并没有奉差往他们一个人那里，只奉差往西顿的撒勒法一个寡妇那里去。先知以利沙的时候，以色列有中有许多长大麻风的，但内中除了叙利亚国的乃曼。
This woman stands as a rebuke to multitudes in Israel who had weak faith.
这个妇人其实就是用来指责以色列那一些小信的人。She's
a rebuke even to the disciples because their faith was comparatively small and fragile.
她也是用来指责这些门徒，因为他们的信心比起来也是小的。
And she's a rebuke to me and you because of the ease with which we grow discouraged and stop praying.
它也是给你还有我带来的一个指责，因为我们也是常常的软弱，而且在祷告的时候也是不持续。
And we do that even though we know God has promised to answer if we don't lose faith.
我们虽然知道神应许着，我们如果不失去信心的话，他必答应，我们却是如此容易的灰心。She's
a reminder that we need to pray without ceasing.
他提醒我们，我们应该不断的祷告。And
our prayer should be persistent and earnest and offered relentlessly.
我们的祷告必须是不断的，而且是持续的。Because
that's the kind of faith that pleases God.
因为这样的信心才会蒙神喜悦。
Let's pray.
让我们祷告。
Father, forgive us for our prayerlessness, for the frailty of our faith. Forgive us for doubting and for ceasing to pray. We pray, Lord, that you would hold us close, even in those times when it seems to us like heaven is silent and closed to our prayers. Give us grace to keep seeking you in faith. And our hearts echo the cry of the man in Mark 9:24. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Give us more grace, multiply grace to us for the strengthening of our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.